Welcome, we're CJMQ, and today we have in the booth Mr. Stephen Berry. So welcome, Mr. Berry. Now, Stephen,
how are you?
Fine. And Stephen Berry, you are most noted for your blues band, and you work with Andrew Cohen and a drummer, too. You're the original three out of, you started off with five about 34
Gordon
years
Adamson's
ago.
Gordon Adamson's the drummer, and he was the first drummer in 1975. When the Stephen Berry Band was first started.
Okay.
And, you know, as it happens, he's still there. I mean, he's sort of come and gone mm-hmm. over the years at some point, but now he's home again, you know.
Okay.
He's back. And we have Jody Golic on saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
He's a
mm-hmm.
wonderful player and a great guy to hang with.
Okay.
These guys, I should point out, these guys are all my friends.
Okay,
as
your
opposed
friends.
To... you know, steely-eyed, hard, mm-hmm. hard-hearted professionals that you pay mm-hmm. money to. You know,
okay.
These are my buddies, and it makes this band unique. I was going to say kind of unique. You can't mm-hmm. say that.
No, it is unique. You started off 34 years ago, and in Montreal.
Yes, we started. It was in Montreal. We're a Montreal-based
okay.
outfit,
mm-hmm.
and we have played quite a lot in. Over the years here in Lennoxville and in Sherbrooke.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're coming back.
Great. Yeah. I was reading that you played almost every blues stage in Quebec, also in Ontario, the Maritimes, too, and you've been to Europe and South America.
Well, you know, it does sound pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We've been to Brazil one time.
Okay.
And that was just on the strength of our live show. Somebody mm-hmm. saw us playing in Montreal.
Okay.
Had this festival in Brazil, which happened to be a theater festival,
mm-hmm.
not even a music festival,
mm-hmm.
and hired us on the spot, gave us plane tickets, and we flew down to Brazil and played.
Wow.
And that was quite an experience because, you know, it didn't look much different,
mm-hmm.
like the landscape from
mm-hmm.
from Drummondville,
okay.
you know,
mm-hmm.
except the earth was redder, and the indigenous population were different. But the one of the little clubs we played in, you know, you immediately knew you weren't in Quebec anymore
mm-hmm.
because of the way people danced.
Okay,
it's a whole different,
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody
mm-hmm.
they don't know what the monkey is
mm-hmm.
in Brazil. In fact. They've never hardly even heard of the blues in Brazil.
Oh.
They've heard of B.B. King.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is that they've got their own culture. It's a huge country, Brazil. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
almost 300 million people there.
Okay.
It's like a sleeping giant, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, salsa down there.
Mm-hmm.
It's their music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very sophisticated music.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't get much of up here,
right,
you know? So
right.
it's just, you know, we were sort of an exotic thing for them.
Mm-hmm. So it was something different for them, something different for you too.
Yeah, it was great for us. We arrived, a bunch of journalists came to speak to us,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing out of somebody's mouth was, "Is it true, Mr. Berry, that you sold 6 million copies of your record in Quebec?" You know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I didn't have the presence of mind to lie. The truth is we only sold 6,000, you know.
Okay.
Which was still pretty good.
It
for,
is good.
You know,
really good.
But 6 million would have really, really, you know, mm-hmm. the journalists kind of faded away after hearing that it was only 6,000.
Okay, so you were a group of friends. You got together in Montreal around 34 years ago. Why the blues? Why that particular
well,
genre?
Well, because, you see, when we were growing up, I don't know how it was for the other guys, but it was like this for me. I mean, I would listen to, when I was a teenager, I'd
mm-hmm.
listen to the radio,
mm-hmm.
Generally WKBW from upstate New York.
Okay.
And part of the reason was that they always had the latest hits
mm-hmm.
3 weeks in advance of the Canadian
radio,
for some reason, you know, it was
mm-hmm.
like that, and it would come in at night, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun, and it was, you know, you'd get hear Gary U.S. Bond singing in the high
mm-hmm.
dance till a quarter to three at 3 a.m, you know, when you're supposed to be asleep, but you know, I was interested, like everybody else, in the pop music
mm-hmm.
thing that was happening,
mm-hmm.
and the I guess it was just the very early beginnings of the British invasion, and mm-hmm. and those guys are basically blues bands.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
That's how they started out. They started out listening to blues, and it really so it was for me it was a very short step from that pop music mm-hmm. to the blues, and discovering okay. mm-hmm. people like, you know, Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and notably Paul Butterfield, mm-hmm. who's a white Chicago blues
okay.
player,
mm-hmm.
put his first record out when he was 22, and it is killer.
Mm-hmm.
22 years old, and the guy mm-hmm. is an incredible singer and a consummate harp player.
Okay.
And it's the blues music itself. See, If you're just starting out to play and you listen to the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
you're going to give up because it's just too good. It's too sophisticated
mm-hmm.
Musically.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the blues is a very simple folk music,
mm-hmm.
Often played just one chord.
Okay.
Not, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of devolved into mm-hmm. the 12-bar Chicago thing, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's more to it than that, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a simple form that anybody can play.
Okay.
And
mm-hmm.
I recognized that as soon as I heard it. And I thought, mm-hmm. hey, I can actually do this
mm-hmm.
on my little Japanese copy Fender bass. You know?
Okay.
And so that's kind of... That was how it started for me, and then mm-hmm. I, you know, when I was at school, I'd bump into these other guys that were playing already,
mm-hmm.
and they were into it even more than I was, and
okay.
you know, so you know, John Reisner and Andrew Cowan and mm-hmm. Gordy Adamson and you know people like that, and we hung out just because of the music, really.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have records that I'd never heard, and maybe I'd have a record they hadn't heard, and
okay.
you know, we were all playing, and
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, we formed little groups, and we just,
mm-hmm.
you know, without any real idea that maybe it would last, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that we'd be doing it 40 years later, you know.
So it lasted, and you made a career out of it.
Well, yeah, amazingly enough.
That's wonderful. Do you think a lot of the music derives from the blues music?
I think it all does.
Okay.
All of it.
And
yeah, okay, when you get to Céline Dion, it's
mm-hmm.
it's pretty far removed.
Mm-hmm.
But still, at the basis of it, yeah, I think so. And the really appealing part of it is that it's a people's music. It's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a lot of American blues artists come up
mm-hmm.
and play. And some of these guys are not what you'd call sophisticated players.
Mm-hmm.
They do have technique. What they do have is, of course, originality. They have they know what to play,
mm-hmm.
the right stuff to play to
mm-hmm.
make it sound like
mm-hmm.
blues. But their actual manipulation of the instrument is sometimes a bit on the rough side.
Okay, okay.
And which is how it is when you're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
your
fingers are fumbling a little bit. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and with any other kind of music, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
with blues, it's not.
It's
actually not that bad. You can kind of fumble your way through a blues and
okay.
still make it work, you know?
That's interesting. Interesting. And
the topics, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that blues talks about, the text, was really kind of where it's at. Whereas, you know, the Beatles are talking about love, love, love. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, Hermits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Brown, you got a lovely daughter. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's you know, that's central to the issue. But the blues talks about it directly. And it's really about the human condition.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I've heard American blues musicians describe the blues as the condition between a man and a woman.
Okay.
As simply as that.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it can be heaven or it can be hell.
Something everybody can relate to.
Something
yeah,
everybody
exactly.
on earth can relate to.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's what I love about that.
Good.
There's no exclusivity at all.
Good. And one of the shows you put on is the anthology of blues you were mentioning too?
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a special show. It requires,
okay.
you know,
mm-hmm.
extra gear and sometimes extra musicians,
mm-hmm.
And it's to kind of illustrate musically let's say, a kind of history from, you know, mm-hmm. 150 years ago to the present okay. day, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's an impossible task. It's like mm-hmm. like Barack Obama's mm-hmm. problem. He just can't do it, you know? Or there's a thousand ways to do it, really.
Okay.
So, we just out of the repertoire that we knew, mm-hmm. we chose songs that would illustrate certain eras, you know?
Okay.
And we play it, you know, we'll play it anytime we're asked to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We generally don't do it in clubs.
Right, right.
Because it's better in a theater.
Right,
you know, when
okay.
they can see it.
Good.
We do it, there's a blues camp that is connected to the Montreal Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 50 adolescent kids.
Okay.
And their mandate is to learn how to play as band mm-hmm. as a band mm-hmm. in a week while
wow.
the jazz festival
okay.
is over 10 days or whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we play the anthology show for them.
Okay.
At the very beginning of the week.
Nice. Okay.
And,
interesting.
You know, if they have questions or anything, mm-hmm. you know, they it's no problem. They can ask us, and mm-hmm. you know, we'll tell them the appropriate lies.
Okay. Now you played with a lot of impressive people that you know, most anybody would know. Bo Diddley, you were saying, and
yeah.
Big Mama Thornton too. You played
Big
with
Mama
her quite
Thornton,
a bit. Yeah.
whose first hit was "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog"
okay.
before Elvis.
Wow.
And she remembered that. She mm-hmm. she didn't like Elvis. She felt like he robbed her
okay.
her hit.
Okay.
Janis Joplin did one of her songs too, Ball
mm-hmm.
and Chain.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't mind that because Janis went to Big Mama directly
okay.
and asked her, "Big Mama, can I do your song?" Big Mama said, "Okay."
Okay.
And so she held nothing against Janis for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But Elvis, she did. She felt
okay.
like she got ripped off, you know. And maybe she did. I don't know. You know, there's some question in my mind as to who wrote that song. Did Big Mama Thornton write
mm-hmm.
that, or did Lieber and Stoller write it?
Hmm. Okay.
We don't know.
Probably never will.
Okay. Maybe not.
Now, let's see. You have won quite a few impressive awards, too. What are some of the more interesting awards that you've won?
The award that I'm interested in mm-hmm. currently is taking place today in Toronto. There's an award ceremony. I'm not at it because I'm here.
Okay.
It's I was nominated as Bass Player of the Year by the Toronto Blues Society.
Very nice.
And, well, I'm
yeah.
listen, I'm happy to just be nominated,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's an honor.
That's fine. I won the thing
mm-hmm.
in I think 2002.
Okay.
You know, and,
mm-hmm.
and the band won a few awards for records that went out and but, you know, being nominated is really more important. You know, the idea of a contest and
mm-hmm.
somebody winning is sort
mm-hmm.
of...
Yeah, only one winner, but being nominated...
you know, let's run 100 yards if we want to have a contest, you know.
Okay, well, we're talking with Mr. Stephen Barry today. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. Stephen Barry, one of a member of one of the most impressive blues groups here in Canada.
Not just the member, the exalted leader.
Right, okay. You also won Best Blues Group in Canada from the Jazz Report in 1996.
That's right, yeah.
And the album Happy Man took home Best Album that same year. Okay. Nominated twice in 1995 and 1996 for the Felix in the category of Best Artist in a Language Other than French. Okay. Now let's see, how many CDs, how many albums do you have out to date?
Yeah, I should know this. It's like knowing how many kids you have or something. Let's see, I've got two kids, but no. I think it's number eight.
Okay, eight albums. Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Great.
And
okay.
this album is a bit of a spin-off.
Mm-hmm.
After 40 years playing mm-hmm. together, Andrew and I decided to make a duo record, just the two of us. And it's all acoustic.
Okay.
We recorded it in a studio not much bigger than this, and just with a couple of mics in front of us, and just played the songs.
Interesting.
And,
okay.
You know, if the take was good, we used it. If it wasn't, we did it again or scrapped
mm-hmm.
it or, you know, just went on.
Okay.
It was a very, very quick process
mm-hmm.
and a lot of fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why we didn't do it sooner.
Okay.
And I was very pleased with the results.
Good.
Actually,
Stephen Barry and Andrew Cohen, and the album is called Duo, and there's 17 songs on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Write all your own songs?
No, I didn't write any of those tunes on there. I did borrow a couple of tunes from people that I know who write songs. There's one from Robert David, one from John Reisner, and one from a fellow named Ben Casey. And also, of course, there was one of my favorites was this song by a Texas bass player, a young woman named Amy Levere. And she wrote this song based on, I think it was an article in the paper.
Okay.
About some woman who had killed her boyfriend, her cheating boyfriend. And as they hauled her off to jail, she was yelling, "The love didn't go away. The love didn't go away." And it's that's sort of the punchline of the tune. Killing him didn't make the love go away. And I heard this song on some compilation somewhere, and it was just, it was riveting. For me, somehow. I listened to it about 900 times, you know, just I couldn't get enough of it. And partly because of the concept of the you know, you figure your lover cheats on you and you shoot him or her, therefore you feel satisfaction, right? Wrong.
Okay. that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's what got to me. Plus, her rendition of it is very beautiful. So.
Okay. Nice.
So we stuck it on the album there. Just because I loved it so much.
Good. And you're coming to the Vieux Colliché in Sherbrooke. That's on the 31st of January.
That's the end of the month.
Right. And you're going to be playing at 8:30. Admission is only $17.50. That's taxes included. So that's certainly a good price. Again, Vieux Clocher in Sherbrooke. Okay, good. So you're going to be playing a lot of the songs off the latest album?
We'll do a chunk. We might even do a portion of the show just as a duo.
Okay.
You know, why not? You know, we have the technology. and it's being acoustic, it's very nice. It makes a very nice change of pace in the show. And the people seem to like it.
Good.
You know, which, of course, is important.
Right. And you said you played in the townships before, so this isn't your first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, over all that time, yeah, we've played quite a lot in Lennoxville and Magog and Sherbrooke, you know. I was telling somebody about a kind of an old hotel, which is no longer a hotel. It's a bunch of stores or something now. That I guess in the sort of early 80s we were playing there, and it had a kind of a ballroom on the ground floor, and then rooms upstairs, and we played there a bunch of times as the band, and also with Johnny Big Moose Walker, who was a piano player from Chicago. And some of the antics that went on there, you know, like the time the G-Men came knocking on our door, you know, that we had. They wanted Moose, and they wanted him out of the country now, and he wasn't allowed to play. And this was like 5 o'clock Friday afternoon. So I told this to the owner of the motel of the hotel. He said nothing, and he disappeared for about half an hour, and he came back, and everything was fixed. But you know, what'd you do? Well, it happens he was the mayor of the town.
Oh.
And so he fixed everything for us. Got papers for Moose to play there.
Okay. Oh, lucky.
And, well, it was lucky. Yeah. When we asked the G-Man, these huge American guys in raincoats, you know, how the heck did you find us here, you know? Well, they got a tip on the phone, somebody with an accent. They couldn't tell us who it was.
Okay.
But right away, Moose says, "Oh, that's Doo-Doo." Doo-Doo Boissel, the owner of the Rising Sun Club, where we were supposed to be playing, not in Sherbrooke, you know. No, Moose, I said, Moose, Doo-Doo would never do that. Only a rat would do that. He would never do that. The following week, of course, we get back to the Rising Sun. And Doo-Doo is crowing. He's boasting about how he called the border police. So, you know, I mean, these things go on.
Yeah, but a lot of experiences.
Chicanery is what we call it.
Okay, what would you say the biggest difference is between American blues and Canadian blues?
Location.
Location, that's about it.
It's colder, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, you got to hand it. I mean, America is the birthplace of the blues. It's mm-hmm. where it's the origin mm-hmm. place, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, here in Canada, I mean, it's we're kind of on the frontier, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, people look at me and they see that, you know, I'm one of the originators of blues mm-hmm. players here in Quebec. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a little absurd, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The blues was invented before I was born, right. you know. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make it up here until, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. until sometime later. And so, I mean, that's got to be the difference. Part of it is the culture, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a predominantly white culture here in Quebec, mm-hmm. whereas in most places in southern U.S., it's predominantly black. Mm-hmm. And that does make a difference. I noticed that when we were playing with American musicians, okay. blues musicians, mm-hmm. even though their language is English, mm-hmm. the first time I was playing Moose, it took me like 2 weeks to really understand what the heck he's saying,
okay.
you know?
Okay.
Partly it's the accent, mm-hmm. but it's largely, it's idiomatic. They have a whole different way of, a whole different line of expressions that mm-hmm. I've never heard of, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so if Moose says somebody has spread his nose for that girl over there, I have to ask him, what the heck does he, what does he mean? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean, mm-hmm. spread his nose? Meaning, he's mm-hmm. interested in her.
Okay.
That's what it means.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know this. Okay. Okay. Well, so, and there's a whole litany of stuff like that that, mm-hmm. that comes out of him, you know?
Okay. Interesting.
So
very
it's
interesting.
That yeah. part, that culturally, it's very mm-hmm. different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And you brought your guitar with you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to...
I've done a few other interviews yeah? today, I must say. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing my current favorite song.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to play it for us?
I'll play it for you, too.
Okay, great.
And I'll tell you that it's not a blues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very pretty song about an addict in England.
Okay, okay. We're talking with Mr. Stephen Barry today, and... Stephen Barry Band coming to Vieux Clocher in Sherbrooke on the 31st of January.
Now in England they call a nurse sister.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of tradition for that.
I don't know.
I don't know why that is, but mm-hmm. that seems to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So this song is called Sister Frances.
Okay.
And it's all about somebody's in mm-hmm. in the hospital in trouble.
Okay.
It goes like this. Sister Frances, come here quick. My health is failing me and I believe I'm getting sick. Sister Frances, can you hear me? I feel so strange tonight, I need you near me. All her promises, so sublime. She'd go full throttle and she'd turn you on a dime. Sister Frances, spare a minute. My world is sinking down and I don't want to be stuck in it. Sister Frances, nurse Reed, these are my friends, please see what they need. I never seen anything look so white. Tombstone medicine, but it gets you through the night. Sister Frances, I guess I'm not that tough. Turn out the light, babe, tonight I've seen enough. Sister Frances, oh so tender, standing there writing out the terms of my surrender.
Okay, very nice. And again, that was Sister Frances?
Sister Frances.
Okay, performed by Mr. Stephen Berry and Stephen Berry Band, coming to Vieux Clocher in Sherbrooke on the 31st of January. So that's a great way to heat up the cold here in the townships.
That's right. Come out and bring all your friends. We'll have a good time.
Good. You've also played on a lot of other band albums, such as Susie Arioli, Penny Lang, Michael Jerome Brown, too.
And Ray Bonneville.
Yeah.
Rob Lutz.
Okay.
Who else? Steve Hill played on. Guy Belanger. Gilles Siwi. I think I did something with him. I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch, too.
Probably, yeah. You really get around here. And
well, it's been a long time since we've been playing, and that's, you know, and people find out you can play, they want you to play on the record, you know.
So
they look you up, you know.
So in the 34 years, you were saying there's been a lot of different people come and go, too, but three of you have remained throughout the 34 years.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, there are periods in a band's life where you have stability and then periods where you don't, you know, and in the unstable periods, what that means is you don't have a solid band. You've got to pick up musicians. And God, over the years, I've had 50 musicians come and go in the band, you know. But now the band is very stable now. We've had the same lineup for, I don't know, a good 10 years now.
Oh, that's great. And 10 years, yeah.
It's a very, very solid. These guys are so good. I love this band. They can all just play like, and it spoiled me, you know, for playing with other people, you know.
Oh, that's great.
We have a kind of there's a complicity. There's a even a kind of an intuitive understanding of what's going on. You know, it's like a good hockey team. You know, we just kind of click. You know.
I suppose after a while too, you can read each
other. Well, sometimes very well, not. Yeah. No. I've seen bands stay together that don't click. You know.
Okay.
You think, what are you doing? You know. Well, but no. In this case, yeah.
Good, good, great. So the band's definitely evolved throughout the years, and you say it's not entirely blues. It's a little bit of a spin-off from pop.
Well, like
and
I
folk
say,
too.
You know, blues being the basis of all this stuff. Yeah, we're basically a blues band. We play a whole lot of blues.
Okay.
But, you know, we do just about any song we want to do, you know. And, you know, if it's a folk song, okay, great. You know, if it's a jazz tune and we can do it justice, we'll do it, you know.
Okay, good.
And we do.
Good, that's great, good. Anything else you wanted to say before we go, Mr.
Hi, Mom.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and definitely a great treat to get out to Vieux Clocher the end of January, 31st of January, easy to remember. Stephen Berry Band, they're playing at 8:30 of Vieux Clocher. That's in Sherbrooke. And check it out. Tickets are only $17.50. That's tax included. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All the best.